Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All righty, here comes a brand new Flyers Daily for Wednesday, the 23rd of July, 2025. Flyers Daily, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. I'm going to do a couple things in this episode. Dan Vladar is going to be our guest in this episode. We're going to look at his style of goaltending as well and why it translates for where the NHL is going a little bit better, maybe than for some other goalies. But first and foremost, going to start this episode with honoring the legend. Ozzy Osbourne passed away yesterday at 76 years of age. Now, the cross-section between the sport of hockey and heavy metal or hard rock is quite pronounced. The two seem to go together beautifully. And my love of heavy metal began, I think it was 1982. A friend of my brother's gave me a vinyl copy of Blizzard of Oz. And I was already listening to Kiss and stuff like that at that time, about 9 or 10 years old. And when I saw the cover of Blizzard of Oz with Ozzy there and the Ozzy tattooed on his hand and laying in that kind of castle and the whole thing, I was just mesmerized. And the music mesmerized me as well. And that kicked off, like my love of this game of hockey, my love affair with heavy metal. And the two go together like peaches and cream. They just make sense together. Ozzy was actually a big hockey fan. And for him to pass away just a couple of weeks after his farewell show in Birmingham, England, the Back to the Beginning show where he played with the original Black Sabbath members for the first time in 20 years, didn't just pass away a couple of weeks later, is remarkable. I had a chance to see him many times. I think the first time I saw him was in 86. I think it was the Ultimate Sin Tour, and Metallica opened up. They were on the Masters of Puppets tour at the Spectrum. Saw him many times over the years, and actually yesterday I'm wearing, before I even knew that he passed away, I was wearing a t-shirt that I've had since 1996. Yeah, a t-shirt from 96. His first Retirement Sucks tour in 1996 when he toured on the Osmosis album. Saw that at the Spectrum, and Korn, before their first album even came out, was the opener. Had a chance to meet Ozzy on a couple of occasions. And as crazy as he was, and as a legendary a figure as he was a sweetheart of a guy. So rest in peace to Ozzy. Your contribution to music, to heavy metal, as the godfather of the Prince of Darkness, cannot be overstated. We thank you for all the great music, the Ozfest, all the great concerts, and all the bands you helped along the way. I will miss Ozzy tremendously. He is one of my all-time favorite musicians and a damn good front man. So rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne. Secondly, Porter Martone going to Michigan State. It figures it pops the morning Bill and I released the episode for Monday where we talked about going to have to make a decision soon. Is he going to college? Is he going to come to training camp? Does he go back to the CHL? Well, he's going to college. He's going to go play at Michigan State. I saw some people were in an uproar about it thinking, oh, this is horrible. The Flyers mishandled this. He's not going to sign here like Cutter Gauthier. Those two were in tandem in this decision. I didn't think it made any sense for him to go back and play in the OHL. I didn't. I thought it was either make the Flyers or play in college. And it's a tough decision because if in camp he showed that he wasn't ready for the NHL, then you got to send him back to junior. And I didn't think there's much for him to prove there by dominating. He's going to college. He can't come to training camp. So while I said on Monday's episode, hey, man, if he wants to come to training camp, try to make this, I'm all for it. I always thought the better route, though, was to go play in college. Now, he's a guy that doesn't need to pack a ton of muscle on. That's one of the advantages of the college game. You play on the weekends, you work out a ton. But he will play with bigger guys, stronger players than he would in the CHL. CHL's got 16, 17, 18-year-old kids in draft years. In college hockey, very few kids go and play D1 as true freshmen. A lot of them will go play in the U.S. team, National Team Development Program or play in the BCHL or NAHL and work their way to the college game, get there around 20 or 21 years old, 22 years old. So they're way further developed physically. I wish he would have went to Penn State for selfish reasons as a Penn State alum and joined Gavin McKenna and brought a national championship, a Frozen Four victory to Penn State but he's going to go to Michigan State, and he'll get great development there. Shane Van Sagi's there as well, so he's got some Flyers connections to it, and gives us another reason to watch another good college program this year to watch Porter Martone. Now, if Michigan State goes all the way to the end and the final of the Frozen Four, that'll end probably around the 9th, 10th, or 11th of April, right at the end of the Flyers season. But if he gets knocked out earlier than that, he can obviously sign his pro contract and come play for the Flyers or play for the Phantoms. We'll see where he is at that point, where the team is. And there's still a good chance we could see his NHL debut this year. So Porter Martone will be heading to Michigan State this fall as a matriculating student. And best of luck to him. I'm very happy with the decision. And obviously it was made in a timely manner, giving him time to prepare to go to Michigan State and everything that comes along with that. And we'll be keeping a close eye on his development, because obviously he's a big piece of this thing going forward for the Philadelphia Flyers as a 6th overall pick in this past year's 2025 NHL entry draft. So I am very pleased with that situation. I would have been okay if he came here, but there's a little bit of risk involved if he showed that he maybe wasn't ready to play in the best league on the planet. And that's no slight on him as a player, because very few players in their draft year get drafted and go right into the NHL. It's a rare breed that certainly does that. Very special players that do that. Not to say Martone won't be special, but maybe the best thing for his development long-term. And that's what this is about, long-term, to get him to be the best NHL player he can be. Not as quickly as possible, but the best he can be in his prime. Maybe going to Michigan State's part of that. So we'll keep a close eye on that situation. And it's nothing like the Cutter Gauthier situation. You're like, it's not even apples and oranges. I always say this is like apples and tennis rackets. Not even close. The communication is there. There was not communication with Cutter Gauthier's camp and his family. And that's a big reason why he is not a member of the Philadelphia Flyers any longer. Flyers move forward. They have a couple of Anaheim Ducks. They have Jamie Drysdale, obviously. And they also have now Trevor Zegras as well. I can't wait for the season. I'm starting to get really hungry for hockey and really start to chomp at the bit to get some answers to a lot of these questions that we'll go into the season with. Whether it's Trevor Zegras, how he bounces back after a couple of down years, whether that's Jamie Drysdale, his further development, whether that's Cam York bounce back year, whether that's Owen Tippett consistency, whether that's Tyson Forser starting the year, where does Sean Couturier fit? Matvei Mishkov year two, does Grabenkin make the team? Does Alex Bunk make the team? All these different questions we've got to answer. So come training camp, we'll start to get some of those answers. Will we get all of them by training camp? Probably not. It'll take some time into the season, and maybe for some of our questions going in, the entirety of a season. And obviously one of the big questions going in, because it's such a consequential position, is goaltending. Last year, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't consistent enough. Sam Harrison got hurt. Took him a while to get his legs under him in his game and get things settled. He didn't really get into a rhythm with his game. Getting hurt early, coming back, getting hurt again. Eventually did catch a little bit of a good streak in January into February. But overall for the team last year wasn't good enough. That combination of Harrison, Fedotov, and Kolesov. So they went out this offseason. And they wanted to upgrade the position without too much of a commitment. You could have gone into the trade market. There would have been a cost per acquisition. It wasn't a great goalie free agency class. So they opted to sign Dan Vladar, who spent time as a Bruin, spent time in Calgary, obviously, and is now with the Philadelphia Flyers. And we're going to hear from Dan in just a couple minutes. I mentioned this before. I really liked his press conference when he talked about how many games he will play, how many games he should play, and about earning it. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about the style of his game as a big 6'5", 6'6", goaltender, how that style has changed, and what's the impact going to be of Dan Vladar? What's the impact going to be on Sam Harrison with Dan Vladar? I think it's a good thing, good competition. So before we get to Dan Vladar, I wanted to take a look at some tape of Dan Vladar to kind of get a little bit of an advanced scouting report on what we can expect to see from him. Like I said, he is a very large goaltender. He is 6'6", good skater, especially for his size, moves well. I think early in his career, he would take quite a bit of ice, really come and attack a shot and do that with his depth. Now, there's basically, when it comes to hockey, there's four depths. I'll put these on the screen for people. You have your aggressive depth, base, conservative. It's the ABCs of depth. The aggressive is outside, like a foot outside the top of the crease. Base is heels on the top of the crease. Conservative is toes on the inside the top of the crease. And then defensive, obviously, is really far back into the net. And, you know, you want to use those depths in certain situations because they benefit you. But the game of hockey is changing a little bit now as well, and we'll talk about that. But your basic, if a shot's a far away and there's no backdoor or side of net options for a shooter, you can take ice because you're taking a shot straight on. If there's a cross ice pass that could come, you want to take less ice because it's less you have to travel to go from side to side. And the reaction speed, you don't have time to react. Making yourself big is part of the equation. You see here with the reaction time and versus speed shot, how little time a goalie can react. A goalie's removing before the puck is even off the stick with reading the shoulders, the head, the eyes, the positioning of the puck in relation to the body, the blade of the stick, all of those things. So the goalie is reading all that. A lot of times the shooter's coming down on a puck and a goalie is already coming up with the blocker because he's anticipating by reading his body where that puck is going. Human can't react quick enough to how hard they can shoot the puck with the accuracy they can. So let's look at some Dan Vladar highlights here. And Vladar, obviously, here he's playing for Calgary against the LA Kings. This is a game, I think, on April 15th of this past year. Calgary's in a must-win situation. Very tight game against a team that is going to the playoffs in the Kings. You see here, the Kings get a little mini 2-on-1. Quinton Byfield, boom, he gets over. And you look at his depth again. His depth, even on a 2-on-1 rush, he's not taking a lot of ice and flowing. If you see here, he's starting well inside the top of his crease. Cross ice pass comes. The D, I don't like how the D played this. I'd rather the D take away the pass because that would have made the scoring chance less opportunistic, less high danger. But the D attacks the passer and gives the shooter here a wide open shot at the net. He gets it. He comes in, comes around, tries to deke Vladar. But because Vladar is deep and doesn't have to move back, you see one push to the left, back to the right with those long legs, seals the bottom of the ice, makes a really good save, collects the rebound, and keeps the Kings off the board. Another one here, a little mini 2-on-1 shot comes in. This one actually hits the post as I think it's Byfield again, comes across the middle of the ice, comes to the right side, boom, dips across. But because Vladar is so deep in his net, he doesn't give him much and doesn't have much to travel, and his size helps him there. Little low to high play here along the side, comes out to the point. Vladar here makes a save, good butt end save, battles in for a rebound, still keeping this, again, in a very important game, keeping it at 1-0 Calgary's lead heading into the third period. Just into the third period, little mini breakaway, boom, very under control. Again, look at his depth. Well inside the top of the crease, puck gets turned over. Here he comes, boom, look where he is. Well inside the top of the crease already. Doesn't need to go out to make himself big. He is big. Stays down on the puck, makes a good save, covers it, keeps Calgary up 1-0 in this game. You see it again here, another quick save. Again, the depth well inside the top of the crease. Then here in the third period later on, another 2-on-1, makes a great save getting across with the left pad on that one-time opportunity going across, showing good lateral movement. Vladar, that's going to be an area that he doesn't look as smooth as maybe some other goaltenders in moving laterally. He makes that huge save at one end. Look at this, 2-for-1. Boom. Calgary goes down the other end and scores right away. There's nothing better for a goaltender than making a huge save at one end than your team going down the other end and getting a goal. And in that situation, in the third period to one goal game, going up 2-0. I think they won the game 5-1. Here's a save from Vladar showing his compete level. This is back in the bubble when he was playing for Boston against the Penguins. And he just makes it an unbelievable paddle save here. And this is just a guy competing. You see, he got totally beat. Boom, throws the paddle of the stick out there. Makes a great save and keeps the Penguins off the board there. Boston's still up 1-0. And He's got that size, but he's got a lot of compete in his game as well. You see here, late in the game against Edmonton for Calgary, once again, final 10 seconds, up by a goal, makes a good save there, again, deep in his net, and then puck gets back to the middle of the ice here to preserve that one-goal lead, and you watch, again, the compete level here, just going all out, sprawling, eventually gets that blocker arm along the ice, makes the save, covers the puck, horn sounds, and you'll see it here. Again, look at the depth. That one off the butt end, and then he's down and out, but boom, he gets across and sprawls, makes a really good save, and covers that puck up. You look at Vladar, there's a lot to like about his game. Why hasn't he been consistent yet? That's part of it. He's got some technical aspects he can still dial in a little bit. Good on the posts. His movement maybe can be a little bit more explosive, but again, it's going to be up to him to earn his playing time. So there's a little scouting report on Dan Vladar. Let's get to the man right now. I had a chance to talk to him last week. He's going to be a Flyers goaltender this year in training camp. I can't wait to see him, although he's quite large. I might have to get out my milk carton to stand on to talk to him when he's in skates. But here's my conversation with Flyers goaltender Dan Vladar. It is a brand new episode of Flyers Daily, middle of the summer. What do we do in the middle of the summer? We check in around the globe. Let's go and check in the Czech Republic in Prague with Flyers new goaltender Dan Vladar. Dan, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm doing great. Obviously, Friday afternoon, all the workouts are done, and it's can't wait to have a good time during the weekend.
How have your workouts kind of ramped up to this point in mid-July, and how much more ramping up takes place before you get over here and start some captain skates in about September?
So it's getting more intense, obviously, you know, as you get a little bit closer to that stage, as you said, to September. So I'm going to start skating again on Monday. I just took probably 2 or 3 weeks off without the ice again. So it's ramping up. It's getting the reps are getting shorter, a little bit heavier. So obviously a little bit more sweat, but the workouts are not as long as they were before. So way more fun right now.
Is there anything particular that you want to add to your game or sharpen in your game this summer? Sometimes you go into it all season and say, okay, I'd like to add this, you know, some kind of save selection, post integration, something like that, or just sharpen some things.
100%. So for me being almost 6'7", always the thing for me was getting stronger. So during this time, I was trying to put on some muscles and on the ice, it's always about skating. I feel like, for me, especially as a big guy, skating is a big thing. And I feel like I can be always improving that. And there is never enough skating for a goalie, as you know, right? So,
yeah.
So that's going to be my main focus. Obviously, it's not fun. Everybody wants to just, you know, make glove saves and stuff. But, that's what the summers are for, just for the hard work, right? And then you have fun during the season. So that's my focus, and that's what I keep trying to do every single summer, and even more, especially with the big opportunity coming up for me.
You know, it's crazy. You came over to North America about 10 years ago, 2015. You played in the USHL for the Chicago Steel. I feel like the goaltending position is changing so much in that last decade. One, because the way teams are attacking, I really noticed it last year that teams are not throwing volume at the net anymore. They're throwing quality, not quantity at the net. And so much of it obviously is the east-west pass, high tips and rebounds and those kind of things. Do you feel like you want to stay on your edges a little bit longer now, beat the pass on your edges and be there and square? Is that how it's changing for you from how they're attacking?
100%, especially for me, you know, as I keep maturing a little bit, you know, I'm finding my game that I can stay a little bit more deeper to give myself a little bit more time, you know, to track the puck and to see the puck coming my way. So that's another thing that I keep trying to work on, especially as you mentioned that, you know, guys are getting so much smarter. And, you know, as you said, they are not just throwing everything blindly to the net. You know, every single pass is going on a stick for a purpose of, you know, not making it easy on a goalie. So that's a big step, 100%, especially with the guys that are getting so much better every year.
Just so people know, goalies love like confidence builders. You give me a clear sighted shot from the blue line all day, it's pitch and catch, and you get to feel the puck and stay, you know, feel like you're 100%. Connected to the game. When they just throw like 22 shots at you, there's a lot of quality in there. That's not fun for a goalie. We want more than that. Let's talk about why you chose Philadelphia. You signed a 2-year deal. I watched your press conference. I was just really impressed with a lot of things you had to say. And you wanted to come here on the 2-year deal and really get an opportunity. You're healthy right now. And maybe that's the biggest key for you. Do you feel like this is just a good opportunity from where the team is standpoint and your health and your game standpoint?
Both, you know, especially, you know, I didn't want to go to any, what usually reporters like to say, rebuild team. I wanted to go into a team that, you know, that's hungry and that's trying, or that's willing to do everything to make it to playoffs. So, you know, that was my first thing of, you know, not burying myself in a team where, you know, there is nowhere really to go. So I felt like Philly is a hungry team and that we are willing to do everything we can to make the playoffs, which should be. And when I spoke to our head coach, that's what he told me too. Our goal is to make playoffs. So that was the first biggest thing for me, you know, going somewhere where, you know, where just the team is really hungry and willing to do everything. And then obviously second thing was, you know, I wanted to see some more playing time. So as I mentioned in the press conference, I didn't want to hear anything from Danny or from, you know, Dilly and or Taj from our head coach of, you know, promising me any number of games. I just feel like they should be whoever's going to play the best hockey should be playing, right? So, you got to earn it, yeah. Right? Like you got to earn your spot in NHL. And once you're there, you got to earn your spot to be playing. And it doesn't matter if you have a 6-year contract or you're there for entry level contract, right? So that was just those two biggest reasons why I wanted to come. And then obviously, as I said before, you know, speaking to my fellow Czech buddies, everybody just said about the best things about the city and the organization, how you know, just the things, how it works there, that, you know, it's like a one big family and everybody's super close to each other and everybody knows each other. So that's why I like it. That's how I grew up in Kladno, you know, team that Jajc used to own. He just sold it this summer, but you know, that's how I was raised. You know, it didn't matter. I was 13, 14 years old and I saw guys that they were playing pro hockey and everybody knew my name. And same thing with, you know, people that were cleaning the building or, you know, guys that, you know, they were Zamboni drivers. So it didn't matter. Everybody knew each other. So that's what I kind of had that feeling from Jake Voracek when he was talking about Philly, that he just basically told me it's like Kladno. So I was like, okay, this is a spot where I want to go.
Yeah, you'll notice that too. That's funny that Jake said that. And Jake's awesome. I worked with Jake for his entire career here. The thing about it, like you'll walk into the rink and like, you know, you'll be saying hi to the security guards and everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's tight.
Yeah. That's what I like. That's how I was raised, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping to see. And if it's like that, which I believe it is, I cannot wait to be coming to the rink every day.
Yeah, I love the lack of entitlement that you're approaching this with. Will I get 30 games? Yeah, if I earn it, I'll get 45 if I earn those too. You know, that's awesome. You know, goalie tandem or a partnership that you have with Sam, it's the partnership with a fellow goaltender's complicated is the way I like to put it, because you want team success, you want the net, you want to earn it. Have you met Sam? What do you know about Sam Harrison? And how do you go about approaching building that relationship?
Well, you know, first of all, you got to look at it in a way that you're there for a reason. You're there. If the team's not going to do well, you're not going to be there. Right. That's the first thing. That's how I look at it. So, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who is in that. The more power you get is if you're cheering for each other, then you can really get the best out of myself or out of him, right? And you know, you don't want to have that relationship. You are coming to the rink and you don't even want to say hi to the guy next to you, sitting next to you. And that's what I kind of learned when I was with Boston and when I had Tukarask and Aaron Halak. Like I felt and I saw how good of a buddies they were, and you know, all the guys were feeding from it, you know, knowing that it didn't really matter who was in the net. They knew that they were both going to compete, and you know, and then especially with those two, they just felt so much support from the other guy, and then it kind of takes that pressure from that outside noise, you know, off your back a little bit, because you know, you always have a guy who's sitting next to who's got your back, and it doesn't matter if it's game one or game 60. So you're there for the logo on the front, not the name on your back, because you know, you're there for a team success. So that's how I look at it. And with Sam, I'm super confident it's gonna be the same way.
Where did the love of the position come in? I always say when it comes to goaltenders, for me, I had two older brothers that they shoved me in the net. They're 5 years older than me. They played hockey and they shoved me in the net and fired balls at me. That's how I became a goalie. Plus the mask was the thing that got me. For you, what turned you into a goaltender? What led you down this path?
I kind of have a good story. You know, when I started playing hockey, you know, I was a forward probably for like 2-3 years. You know, everybody wanted to be a Jaromir Jagr, right? Like that's how we were raised. So there was only two players, Jaromir Jagr and Dominik Hasek. So everybody wanted to be a Jaromir Jagr, you know. Then kind of 2 years in, the coach kind of told my parents that, you know, I was not good enough of a skater, and you know, nobody wanted to go in the net. And then, you know, all of a sudden they had this extra gear and they were like, well, if you want to try, you can try. And then I started loving it. Obviously my parents were against it because, you know, goalie gear is way more expensive than the player's one, right? So
yeah,
but you know, I don't remember that moment, but my dad always keeps telling me that, you know, since the first time I put on the pads, like I was just talking about being a goalie, you know. And then obviously watching Hasek growing up, you know, that was just pure love, and everybody wanted to be every goalie wanted to be Hasek.
It's crazy.
That's how I end up being a goalie. Yeah.
It's crazy. Cause like watching Hasek, I was in probably high school at that time playing in the late 80s or early 90s, but that's probably a little bit before him. But he wasn't a guy that people could imitate because it was like, okay, a guy coming down on 2-on-1 barrel roll. Like, who thinks of that, right? Like,
yeah, I could never think like him. Yeah, just a natural pack stopper and, you know, competitive guy, you know. But, you know, obviously I'm not trying to copy his game or, you know. Yeah, but you know, he was just like a with all the respect, he was just like a street hockey goalie, right? That's how I was playing with my buddies, you know, in the backyard. I was a street hockey goalie at the beginning, right? I just don't want to give up a goal, and I would do everything. You know, I was throwing hats. We didn't have gloves, obviously, you know, hats, and I was throwing hats at their faces and everything, you know, just to stop the puck, or ball or whatever we had, tennis ball. That was my childhood. Yeah.
Are there some guys though that you actually model your technical aspects of your game after?
Yeah, well, you know, especially with my partners that I had in my past. But you know, obviously, I always say my favorite goalie is Vasilevsky, and I think he's the best in the league. You know, especially with the size that, you know, I kind of feel like I have a similar size like him. But you know, he's such a his athleticism is just, you know, out of the world. So, but at the same time, you know, you gotta try to be the best version of yourself. So every single goalie that's playing in a league is great in some way. So it's just, for me, it's, you know, always have my eyes open, and then it doesn't matter if it's a top goalie, top two, top five goalie in the world, or if it's a guy who gets called up from the American Hockey League, or, you know, even during camp, if it's a guy who is there from East Coast, you know, all the goalies have something special. That's why they're playing pro. So, you know, for me, it's like, I'm not trying to copy anybody, but, you know, always trying to take the best things that I see. And it doesn't matter if the guy's 35 or 18 years old.
Yeah. Put your own little touch on it. The one thing about Vasi too, is his mental game. You know, going back to the years where they were going to cup finals a couple years ago, his performances in elimination games were just ridiculously incredible. How much do you kind of work on that part of the game too? Because obviously it's such a mental position, last line of defense. You know, if you give something up, you gotta be able to reset and move on, or it's a self-fulfilling prophecy to give up another one right away. How much do you attack the mental side of the game?
Well, it's huge, right? But at the same time, you know, how I play the game is like, you know, I'm always trying to do my best. And, you know, for me, the most important thing is, you know, obviously give my team chance to win every single night. And then obviously you're not always gonna have a great day, you know, sometimes you're gonna give up a bad one, you know, that might happen again 2 minutes later. But you know, you just gotta look into the mirror game after the game and just, you know, just say, I did everything I could, and if it worked, perfect, let's do it again 2 days later. But if it didn't work, you just gotta believe that the path that you're choosing, and you know, especially working hard off the ice and, you know, doing practices and stuff, to have a clear mind of knowing in your head that you did everything you could to help your team. And then if it's going your way, that you gotta keep continuing doing it, and if not, then you gotta stick to it and keep doing it again over and over again till it's gonna turn your way.
No doubt. Let me ask you about this summer. You dealt with some injuries. I know you mentioned that in your press availability. You've really finished the year strong. I went back and watched your last performance of the season this year. Really great game that you had. I think it was against Nashville, if I recall. And you guys were in one of those pressure cookers trying to make the playoffs in Calgary. You end up tying with the St. Louis Blues, and unfortunately the tiebreaker doesn't get you guys in. But do you go into this offseason healthy? Was there any rehab? What's the difference for you rehabbing versus training?
No, well, obviously, you know, having a big hip surgery like I did is something that, you know, I always got to be aware of. But, you know, especially knowing what kind of worked for me since the formation break, I kind of stick to that plan that I had. And, you know, obviously I'm 100% healthy. That's I can say confidently. But you know, it's gonna be a thing that, you know, once you have that issue, it's kind of like a never ending story, in a way that, you know, you gotta really pay attention of training it well and doing all the best things after, especially after the ice, to keep yourself as healthy as possible. So I'm healthy, but you know, it's a thing that I gotta, till the rest of my career, that I gotta pay attention to. That's for sure.
Yeah, the hips take quite the beating. I'm gonna have to have mine redone. Yeah, just the velocity when you go down into your butterfly, it's like four times the body weight that goes through the hips.
There you go.
A lot of strain on them. Let me ask you the mask. Do you have a mask painter, or do you kind of do that city by city?
I spoke to Rick, which I believe. And I'm going with Franny. Yeah, so I gotta speak to him right now, probably in next couple of days, just to have ideas. If you have some ideas, so let me know, because you know, those are the things that I kind of already burned all my imagination to, so I don't really have much. But you know, obviously, I want to put something, you know, that's especially going to be cool for the fans, and it's going to be something cool for my teammates as well. You know, when they look at it during the face-offs or something, you know, they can probably pump them up or something, you know.
One of the things that follows you around, obviously, because of your name, it would be Darth Vladar, because of Darth Vader. Yeah. Have you fully embraced Darth Vladar? Could that be a theme?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. Like, I never saw Star Wars. It's a huge North American thing. Like, it's not as big in Europe, but I actually never saw that movie. But obviously, I saw people saying that. So maybe during like some sort of special game, you know, I gotta talk to the Kupen guys, you know, if they are gonna have some sort of cool idea of doing that, then for sure, if the fans are really good, if the fans are really into it, then why not? Why not?
Yeah, let's do it on Star Wars night when they wear all black, and that'd be the night to date. I just helped the marketing department out.
There you go.
Yeah. What's the plan for the rest of your summer? What are you going to do to you're going to be training and getting ready, but what do you do to chill? Like, what is it? Do you play guitar? Do you play chess? Do you listen to music? What do you do?
I still love playing soccer. So every Sunday I would go play soccer. But obviously, since my hip injury and hip surgery, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, there's way more important stuff that I need to do, and that's playing hockey, right? So, but you know, I'm just trying to, you know, spend as much time with the family that's from here, that they're staying here as possible. And you know, we have lots of weddings this summer that we are going to. And then I'm a big soccer fan, so I'm gonna go watch some soccer games for sure. They're starting this weekend, so that's why I cannot wait for the weekend already. Yeah,
fantastic. When will you head over? Around September?
Mid August.
Oh, so you're early, three, four weeks away. Awesome. Yeah. Dan, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, man. And I'm excited for you to come here. I just love your attitude of earning it and no entitlement. That's awesome. So I can't wait to get here and get your game going and get this season going, frankly. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Thanks for doing this. And we're going to talk when you get here, man.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting you. Take care.
Thanks to Dan Vladar for taking the time in his summer break to drop in on Flyers Daily, and we look forward to having more discussions with him coming up when everybody reports for training camp. You know, we'll be talking to the goalies about goaltending, and it's a huge question mark coming in. We'll see if the Flyers can answer that into the affirmative. That would go a long way to showing an improvement year to year for the Philadelphia Flyers. Sam Harrison, Dan Vladar, presumably your top two goaltenders. Who's number one? Who's number two? We'll see. Whoever's playing better gets the crease. And that's how Dan Vladar feels as well. I know Sam Harrison feels that way also. They should be a good tandem together to push each other. All right, that's going to put a wrap on this episode of Flyers Daily. Join us Friday. We'll have another brand new episode, And who knows where we'll go. Maybe we'll talk about some more expectations and much more. So join us Friday on a brand new Flyers Daily.